You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
tell people who you're gonna turn to next. Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. We're going to have a good day. Hope you all have a great weekend. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, you will get it done. That's no doubt about it. Because you always persevere and you never procrastinate. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, you can always go to babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net, and there will be programs. And they're pretty much updated. Brother Kwaku has done an outstanding job, and you can listen to them. They're working. Sometimes they haven't, but they're on the one now. I was just on there just recently. So check it out. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Of course, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times they're going to give our Eastern times. And so on Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, every Wednesday from 8 to 9. If it's Friday, today's Friday. Oh, okay. Today there will be a Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's going to be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. And you know, I'm making this pause here because I want to say that we're, you know, they're still trying to raise money to develop a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, and it shouldn't take but a damn minute to do it. And it's been years. It's been years. We don't have a supermarket, and I'm not just saying it's just for Atlanta. I know there are some cities that do have a supermarket. Maybe have two. I know Milwaukee used to have Lena's. They don't have any supermarkets anymore in Milwaukee that are us. Oh, of course, they're in our community, you know. In fact, one of our sisters talked about the food desert in our community. And, they didn't put a supermarket that was us. They didn't put Lena's in there and nothing like that. They put Pete's Market, which, of course, is a what is that? Galt's food, whatever. Used to be owned by European Jews, but anyway, my point is, brothers and sisters, you know, I can't say this enough, and I'll continue to say it. Everything in our community should be controlled and owned by us. I know that's not going to be the case, but when you live in a city like Atlanta, where there's millions of us, brothers and sisters, there's millions of us. Even though there's only 600,000 in the city of Atlanta, we're 60% of that. Even though there's 6 million people in the metropolitan area of Atlanta, well, there's 2 million of us of that 6. So, well, let me go on. Let me go on, family. All right. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Imani Tahimba will be my guest next week, Friday. I'm excited to talk about his trip to Tanzania and the upcoming trips that he's going to be having. In fact, this month, December 24th to January 5th, going to Ghana again. And then April 1st to April 11th, going to Tanzania and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania. So, brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and look at the website. Everything you need is right there to make a trip of a lifetime. All the documentation, all the things. But if you want to give Brother Bomani a call, please do. 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And that's Brother Bamamani Tahimba. There's photos. You want to see photos of previous tours? Go to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos? Go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habeshaw Incorporated. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad, and the outstanding work that they do, brothers and sisters, their programs. Of course, Habeshaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds and the Urban Green Jobs, and of course, the Kashi Project that is in happening in Ghana. The buildings are up and so forth. Go to HabeshawIncorporated.org. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located. Oh, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead here. Let me go here. Thank you. The Ledge Group, brothers and sisters, the Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. I'll get somebody from the Ledge in here to talk about this, because they've always done good stuff. And the Ledge, the brothers and sisters with the Ledge Group and what they're doing in Africa. Sorry about that. The Ledge Group was formed to continue in the tradition of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and many others to bridge the social, economic, and physical divide between Africans all over the world. Africans in the diaspora sit in strong economics, in economies with capital and no resources. The continent maintains resources but have no capital. This produces a lose-lose economic situation for both groups. African resources are taken, refined, and sold to us in the diaspora. The fortunes earned on both sides don't benefit either of us. The Ledge Group bridges this gap. We produce projects, models, and partnerships to enrich both groups at once and change this dynamic forever. We do not have the audacity to think small. And we also got to start now. We don't have time to just talk about it. We got to be about it. And of course, the Ledge Group, they deal in the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on 6 countries in Africa and over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. Abibiatumi. Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi.com, they have a program tomorrow, Saturday at 5 p.m., which is 1 p.m. here.
on the East Coast, and so you can adjust the times accordingly. You know, it's 5 o'clock in Ghana, 1 o'clock here. How to build black institutions and destroy the institutions of non-blacks, historical presidents, and how to guide. And the professor, James Small, will be one of the presenters. Baba James Small is prepared to go to from information to transformation in the terms of your daily choices in the interests of Kemet, in the interests of African people. That is going to be tomorrow. So go to bibiatumi.com and register. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. Delicious smoothies and health drinks and pastries and bean pies and all kind of good stuff right there at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, which is across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And, of course, Kwanzaa's coming up. You can get your Kwanzaa kits. Get your candles and so forth, mats, everything, Kanara, right there at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Go check them out. They're right there located on Route David Abernathy. Give them a call at 404-444-6696. That's 404-444-6696. That's right, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. And give her a call. She doesn't have Kwanzaa kits and so forth that I can think of, that I know of. But she's got books. She's got postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kind of good stuff for you. So give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. We buy black. No, that's not. We did that already. The Black Dot. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu, I stopped in to talk to him the other day. He's doing well. I love the way he's utilizes his space at the Black Dot. It's a beautiful place. And of course, they've got Kwanzaa coming up, and I'll be involved in that Kwanzaa, and I look forward to it. He has books, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff. He has the red, black, and green shoes. So does the Shrine. They have the red, black, and green shoes. I understand that the Nat Turners are out again, so I need to get a pair of Nat Turners. Got to. I'm telling you, man, the Nat Turners are tough. Give Brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Afroletics. Afroletics is in the new Black Wall Street Market, located in Stonecrest, the new Black Wall Street Market. My good brother, Sajafo, the jeweler of Timbuktu, and he also has an art gallery that's located there, as well as the jewelry. You know, it's going to be a nice thing, brothers and sisters, if you're in the Atlanta area, to check out the new Black Wall Street Market located. It's east of even... the Black Dot is going, and you exit up Turner Hill Road and then make a right, and on the left you see a light. At the light you see on the left the Popeyes. If you pass Popeyes, you passed it, so don't do that. At the light before you, when you see it, make that right, and it's on the left, and there is the new Black Wall Street Market. It's in a old or abandoned and now renovated Target. So check it out. Black Wall Street. Homeland Village and Cultural Center, located in Macon, Georgia. Give my good brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. And he's open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. And he has everything. He just like the Shrine, man. In fact, he even has a vegan restaurant. So check that out. Us Lifting Us, last night was their Thursday night broadcast of Us Lifting Us. And every Thursday night from 9 to 10, check out Us Lifting Us. the Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Blog, you can online go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, or you can call in to the program from 9 to 10 at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or cooperative economics, but we call it family-centered economics. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give my good sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And go to the website, check out what they're doing with the children. They look beautiful in their school uniforms. And of course, they have health care and then sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. So check out Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. SONJAY-HAITI.org. And Baba Barudi, I don't have that in front of me. They have a Mama Ya has a program coming up on the 10th. So I'll have more information on the 10th. Another Zoom call. But you know, you should, you know, think about supporting these things that I, once again, I'm throwing this out there, brothers and sisters, because these things deserve to be supported. You do what you want to do, of course, and it's your money, you know. But if you can afford to and you can help on a monthly basis, that's great. You know, if you just like thinking like it's a bill, you know. And it's a small amount you can pay, or you can pay a large amount. It's always up to you, but it's always needed and it's always necessary to support Akaba Institute or any of the other things that I announce. That's why I announce them, every program. So Akaba Institute, of course, is you can make a check of money order out to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310, Akaba Institute. Or you can use PayPal or Cash App. And also, too, Baba Barudi is a prolific writer, and he has all these books. All these books, fantastic. He's a prolific writer. AkabinHouse.com. Go to Akaban House. In fact, we're going to read from the Enye Sesem, one of the books that you can buy from AkabinHouse.com. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Revolutionary Thought. Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 2nd. We must develop revolutionary African institutions and be ready to defend them with our lives. We have no choice. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to read that again. We must develop revolutionary African institutions and to be ready to defend them with our lives. We have no choice. Lawrence Neal. The majority of the operations that we are engaged in, which are described as revolutionary, are overt. They're out there. We you know, just like his school, everything is out there. The majority of Yorugus are covert. In the same way as our ancestors warned us that by the time the fool has learned the game, the players have dispersed. Or by the time you've learned the game, they didn't change the rules. Because it is their game. This discrepancy must be corrected if sovereignty is to be ever gained to be a possibility for African people. We have to stop menticidally pretending that what they control belongs to us. And for this wrong-headed reason, is subject to any meaningful influence by us. We must stop dysfunctionally reacting and start constructively acting. We must recognize that action is a function of preparedness. Those who act are cognizant of past behaviors and based on that position themselves so that as to not be surprised or harmed by similar behaviors in the future. Reactions are based on ignoring what has already occurred and then responding to each reoccurrence as if it's something new. Reactions. We're crises orientated. Specifically, warriors act to prevent the future destruction of African people. They study the patterns in thought and behavior of our enemies and consider all possible ways in which they can stop the onslaught. They act before the next attack. Having learned from our mistakes and how enemies move, they supplant overt behaviors and more covert ones. On the other hand, vanquished individuals do nothing to prevent their destruction. And in fact, by repeatedly doing nothing, continue to invite it. They approach each new genocidal event as if there and had been no attack at all or no previous attack. Affirm, I'm developing and defending active revolutionary African institutions. Affirm, I'm developing and defending active revolutionary African institutions. December 3rd. There will come a wrath so pure, blood will be the steed, drawing its chariot, galloping up the stench. It will sweep across the earth, a mighty scimitar, slicing away at the garbage of our times, a prayer in horrific motion, forcing spirit from bone and devouring it with divine grace. Nothing the infidels can imagine will protect them from their karma or the demonic integrity of its intensity. Lenny Mateta. They are quite aware of their recessiveness. They are quite aware of their recessiveness. Remember, our genes are dominant. Their genes are recessive. Their delusion of superiority dictate that what is always of preeminence important to them is that their disingenuous, rot mind, their twisted, dehumanized interpretation of reality, their mechanical science and their immorality and unrighteous ethnicity, their brutal, despiritualized worldview continues and imperialistically expands its domination through time until there is nothing but them. Only then will they become moral and the only norm. Their fear of death exposed and realization of their inferiority is that great. So there is no need to fret, fear, and needlessly hope that they will change. They are going to do what they do. And those of us who believe we are them are going to do what they do in service to them. They are what they are, and this is their culture, their society, their reality. It uncompromisingly reflects their worldview, their cultural ceiling. They also know that regardless of conditions of opposition, warriors are going to do what they do because they are our ancestors' return. Warriors are the ancestors' scimitars. Warriors are karma. I am karma. I repeat, affirm, I am karma. December 4th. For African men and women to develop a genuine sense of self, it is necessary to understand the relationship between the celestial process and the human process. The evolution of the mind, body, and soul are fashioned like the heavens in perfect harmony and balance. Individuals should not just live. I tell you. Excuse me. Individuals should not just live in a linear mind world, but strive to unify the right and the left brain functions so that compassion, truth, justice, and love become a way of life. The overemphasis on money, power, and status will destroy the African male and female relations. Money and power are important for survival of the African people as a group, but for the African family to survive, African men must become as wise as Yehudi and take care of their women. Women, on the other hand, must be more sensitive and caring. Only then, with African men and women coming together in rhythmic cosmic harmony, will the Africans be whole again and take their rightful place in bringing leadership to the world. William Gunn, Jr. Spiritual connection requires contact. Contact requires peace, prayer, and meditation. And peace, prayer, and meditation requires conscious, concentrated quietude. Communing with the spirit is not accidental. It does not just happen because you are born African. It calls for deep, sincere, undisturbed thought. In their search for inner tranquility, Africans, warriors, breathe optimism in, pessimism out, positivity in, negativity out, clarity in, confusion out, certainty in, indecision out, sureness in, doubt out, victory in, defeatism out, consciousness in, conformity out, success in, failure out, virtues in, vices out, righteousness in, immorality out, knowledge in, ignorance out. Affirm, I am balanced and in harmony with universal order. Affirm, I am balanced and in harmony with universal order. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Oh, man, I tell you, I love the Inye Sesem. I love it. I love what it brings. That's why, to me, it's an honor to read it. It's a pleasure to read it. It's satisfying to read it. I unfortunately have unfortunate news that my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, will not be joining me today. He is under the weather. So I wish him speedy recovery. So he will be back with us very shortly. Maybe next week, Wednesday, we'll try that. See if that works. Because I know I could say next week, Friday, I have Brother Bomani Tayemba of African for the Africans. And we'll talk about, of course, his recent trip to Tanzania and the upcoming tours that he has and how you can access them. But we're still going to talk about the Black People's Matrix. We're still going to talk about the Black People's Matrix, which, of course, that Brother Franklin Jones has created. The website, you know, go to the Black People's with an S, matrix.com. And all these memes that he has created, they're just outstanding. You know, I think one of the things that, I didn't know Brother Franklin Jones, but I saw his stuff on Facebook, you know, and so, I'd send him a contact, you know, and he answered finally. And we've been friends ever since. Didn't know he was here. In Atlanta area, you know, and we've been, so, but yeah, you can get in contact with Brother Franklin Jones as well, you know, to Black People's Matrix, the blackpeoplesmatrix.com, and you can talk to my good brother. Send him information, you know, because it's important that it happens. What is the goal of the Black People's Matrix? Our goal. Our goal is African liberation. His goal and my goal and our goal should all be the same. African independence, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty. That's the ultimate. That's what we strive for. We don't strive for integration. We don't want nothing to do with the European, with the Caucasian, with the Yorugu, with the cracker, with the hunky. Man, ain't heard that word in a while. White folks, we don't want nothing to do, and we don't want them in nothing that we're doing. No. In fact, going back to my brother, Bomani Tayemba, I was just looking at pictures of previous tours. There's not one Caucasian person on any of the tours, but I can't wait to ask my good brother about that, because I'm like, wow, that's great. He ain't taking no white folks. He ain't taking no white folks on none of the tours. He's on a picture that I've seen. Now, he got some more pictures, where like a group picture. And every group picture that I've seen, every time I go, it ain't nobody but us. Now, I know there's some people, because it's all about money, and they try to make money. But Brother Bomani is trying to get Africans in connection to Africa. He's not trying. Just as a travel group. He wants Africans to go home. He wants Africans to invest. So repatriation and investment. And what Brother Franklin Jones wants to do is to change the minds of African people. So once their mind is changed, they'll connect with Brother Bomani because they want to go. They want to see for themselves. They want that connection. Our goal is African liberation and to elevate African consciousness. We want to make our people more aware of the socialization that is affecting their self-concept, beliefs, and their behaviors. We work to expose the construct and to educate the world of our untold hidden histories. A new reality for African people will not emerge if we continue to ignore our hundreds of years of demonstrative evidence affirming that we cannot totally entrust Caucasians with the responsibility of our well-being. But yes, we have, haven't we? And we still do. Damn. That's why I'm saying there has to be a point where we say, hey, either you in or your ass is out. If you in, this is what we're doing. And we're moving strong in this direction. If you out, that's in so what? I think the only thing that I could say, if you're out, have some understanding about who we are and what we're doing as African people. But if you hate yourself that much and you love the Caucasian that much, and I know you want to be an infiltrator, an agent provocateur, a spy, a disruptor, we have them, don't we? Yeah. As long as our lives remain in their hands, they will always be benefactors and we the exploited. We must eradicate the monopoly that the European, the Caucasian, oppressive forces have on our minds and our image. They presently misuse this monopoly in ways that serve their racist agenda. They vilify our image to falsely validate their mistreatment of us. They dehumanize us to make others insensitive to our plight. And they demoralize us unrelentingly to turn us against each other. Because this prevents us from unifying against them and makes us much easier to control. The white man's propaganda has made him master and all of those who come in contact with it and accepts it becomes his slaves. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Yeah. It's all about the mind. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. That's what this program is about. And not just the M-I-N-D, your mind, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet, this is how I close. You know that if you're listening, if you've been a constant listener and you listen all the way through, I always close with this. The M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people. And look what's happening. Everybody wants it. Everybody is there. But us. That's why the quote that I always, from Era Home, is so important. That's why it's so important. There is no other historical instant of a formerly captivated, enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point they were completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland.
Well, I ain't no African. I ain't living. I'm indigenous. I'm indigenous.
No, you're not. Not to hear. Now, I mean, I don't want to go through the semantics of we the world's first people, so we indigenous everywhere. Okay. And what made human beings different once we left out of Central East Africa and began to migrate over hundreds of thousands of years is ability to adapt to environment. And so those environmental changes caused us to look the way that we do so we could adapt to that environment and live, continue to live. There's a connection there. Yeah, I'm talking about Africa. I'm talking about melanated. I'm talking about close curled hair. I'm talking about a wide nose, thick lips, big ass. I'm talking about Africa. So I don't claim North America, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, Southeast Asia, or Asia, or up. No, only thing I'm making a serious, honest, hard claim to is the continent of Africa. You know, when you look at some history that talks about this is prehistory that deals with the dinosaurs and all of that. You talk about Pangea. If you haven't heard of that, that's when all the land masses were together. And then one huge land mass was called Pangea. And through the tectonic plates that shift and earthquakes and volcano eruptions and all kinds of stuff over millions of years, millions, hundreds of millions of years. Because human existence in the timeline of this planet is very small. In the timeline of this planet, the amount of human existence, if you look at a timeline, is a dot. The dinosaurs were here for millions of years before what they believe was an asteroid that hit the planet and knocked it off and caused a climatic condition that eliminated the dinosaurs. But we know that they're there. We know that they exist because there's fossil evidence. Also, too, those fossils created fuel, fossil fuels. That's dinosaur and vegetation, all that stuff that was compressed into the earth, and then you pumped it out, oil. Through oil, you make gas and plastics, all kinds of stuff. But you also messed up the damn environment because of it. But we know they exist. Humans did not exist with dinosaurs. Human existence evolved millions of years later. And the understanding in terms of the belief of Homo sapiens sapien began in Central East Africa. There's a DNA. In fact, I just saw on Facebook Nipita Luongo. Nipita Luongo, she won an Academy Award for 12 Years a Slave in the part that she played. And of course, she was in Wakanda, you know, black in the Black Panther, as one of the warrior sisters. Nipita Luongo, her DNA. Her DNA goes all the way back there. And what makes human beings different is the ability to adapt to environments. And environments play on you. They cause you to develop behavior. The great, honorable Sheikh Anta Diop, when Dr. Diop did what he did, and when he talked about the two cradle theory of human development, he was talking about just like I mentioned this a couple of days ago, that in South Africa, you had brothers and sisters who were killing other Africans, talking about this is xenophobia. It's not xenodamphobia. Xenophobia is a fear of people who look other than you, who are outside of you. You're just talking about some more Africans from the other part of the continent coming down into South Africa getting technical jobs. Because your ass weren't educated enough by the Caucasians. Those are the ones you should be going after and trying to kill. Not the brothers and sisters who are from Kenya and who are from Ghana, who are from Nigeria and whatever, who are getting these jobs. Totally constantly misdirected. No. Caucasians suffered from xenophobia. Africans have xenophilia, a love for others, embracing others. When people came to enter Africa, when people came to other parts of the world where people were melanated, they welcomed them. The Europeans abused that and then turned them and killed those people. Some of them wiped them all the way out. A real act of genocide. And took their land. And took their resources. The most evil people on this planet. The most violent prone people on this planet. That's why they hate critical race theory. Because they can't handle the truth about who they are and what they've done. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we should not waste our time. We should not waste our time trying to plead with them, beg them. But boy, what a stranglehold. You know, Dr. Wade Nobles, clinical psychologist, has to me one of the most definitive definitions of power. And I love it. I love this definition. Because many people talk about power. That power is the ability to define reality. I apologize. I'm going to get this. I'm going to find a way to, because all these are bull, just point blank. These some bullshit ass calls, you know. And I got to find a way to make sure this is ridiculous. So disruptive. And it's, so I bet you in the next hour that I have left, I bet you at least get about two or three more of these, if not more. he has, to me, the most definitive definition. Before we go to this break, let me give you this, to me, what I believe is the most definitive definition of power. Power is not politics. Power is not voting. Power is not money. Power is not information or education. Power ain't none of that. Because if the information, education you receive is flawed and inaccurate, no real power from it. And it is. The money, you see, they about to change the money pretty soon any damn way. No real power from the money. In fact, the money, which has their face on it, ain't really worth nothing because they ain't backed up by nothing but their word, of course. What backs up their word is military might. Military might. Power ain't voting. We've been voting. We begged to be voting. Put people in office. Just like this brother's about to go in and be the new mayor. Brother about to be the new mayor of Atlanta. Andre Dickens, wish him well. But ain't nothing going to fundamentally change. You know, they ain't stopping gentrification. They are finding ways to make sure that more of our people benefit from, you know, and it's not power. Power is none of that. Power is the ability to define reality. Power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. That's why Caucasians has exercised power. They came into a land with their reality, and they forced the people to accept their reality as if it's their own. That's what happened to us. This is their reality. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in their reality? They had the idea that we were soulless, no culture to speak of, primitive, justifying our captivity, justifying doing what they're doing to us. That was their reality then. What is it today? We're no fit fathers, no fit mothers, the scourge on society, justifying mass incarceration, justifying miseducation. Not just here in South Africa, everywhere. Everywhere they are, we are. They're in a position, as Dr. Bobby Wright, the clinical psychologist, I love. Please go get Dr. Bobby Wright's book, Psychopathic Racial Personality. Wherever they are, and we are, they're in a position of dominance and control, and we're in a subservient position. It defies all laws of probability. Everywhere. Power. The ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. I don't want to exercise power over nobody. But I want to define reality, and I want to shape reality in our image and in our interest. I don't care about imposing anything on anybody. But I do care about us embracing who we are, our culture, our traditions, everything about us to make us whole. True power is in one of my good brother's memes. I'm going to be reading these memes when we come back. And, of course, you can join the conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. True power is the ability to create a false reality and then impose it upon other people and have them respond to it as it's true, as if it's true. This is what European oppression forces have done to African people. Through their monopoly over information, they created a false reality that perpetuates the myth of Caucasian racial superiority and impose it upon African people. Many African people then respond to the false reality as if it is true. When you're bombarded 24/7, 365, and everything that you do, everything that you see, because we understand something. When Francis Cress Wellsley said that racism, white supremacy is in everything they do, it's in all areas of people activity. Everything they do, everything you see, everything you read, they're literally created a prison for the minds of African people. Those that do not critically think never notice their mental change. That's the problem. We don't critically think. That's why I'm saying, you know, damn what they say about critical race theory. We need to critically think. Critical theory is something we should engage in. Critical cultural theory. Because there's no such thing as race. Race is not even a real construct. There's no such thing as race. There's only the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. It's not race. It's cultures. Let me take a break. Let me take a break. I love it. I do. I. For those that do listen, and I did see some numbers when I was talking with Brother Kwaku. And I'm surprised because I don't know how many times people would pick up the information and listen and so forth. And we're listening right now. Sometimes you can't tell by the number of the calls. I only have a few callers on the queue right now who have called in to listen. But I appreciate every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for those that do or those that go check out on the website, you know. Previous recorded programs and so forth. I really do. I appreciate that, you know. But I'm going to do this, what I'm doing. Is somebody listening or not? I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. I've committed myself to do this. Because this perspective deserves to be out there. And it's not me. It's not Brother Oshie. No. It's our ancestors. I'm not bringing anything new. I don't have no new concepts. I'm reiterating what those great scholars and ancestors talked about. Those men and women who, without foundation money, without grant money, went to reclaim, recapture, restore the history of our people. Because they understood that people without a history are like a tree without roots. You would die. So I'm committed to bring you that information. And I bring it to you unchallenged, unfettered. I bring it to you straight, no chaser. Straight, no chaser. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you get.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Mandrell. That's Mandrell. That's right. Yeah, Fence Walk, 1972. I know I play a lot of old music, but yeah, that's what I like. And you know, I hope you like it too. You know, but if there's something you want to hear, call or text me. You know, my number is 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. Text me. Call me. You know, call and on the program. Say, hey, Brother Oshi, you should play this. And if I can find it on YouTube or wherever, I'll play it for sure. You know, other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And on Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. And on Tuesdays, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sundays at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Okay. So, I only have a few people in the queue. If you want to, you know what to do. Hit star twice. Or if you're listening and you want to give me a call at 215-490-9832 to get into this conversation dealing with the African mind. In fact, everything that we talk about deals with the African mind, you know, because it is. All this is about the African mind. I'm here once again to put something on your mind. That's what I used to tell the students I used to work with in Milwaukee Public Schools. You know, I was a firefighter. And we worked 24 hours, worked one day off too. So the 2 days I was off, I would schedule myself to go into schools and talk with young people. And I would always say to them, I'm going to tell you things that you will not get into this school. You know, they will not get you this information in this school. But what I'm trying to do is put something on your mind to get you to think. Get you to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon you. You know? Get you to break that vice grip that they have on our minds. And if you understand that tool, once the vice grip is set, and it has been set, you just can't pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip that begins to release the tension once you turn it. And symbolically, acquiring knowledge of self, gaining consciousness, believing in oneself, you turn that knob consistently until finally the tension is released. You open the vice grip and you see the European, the Caucasian has Mama Nabantu, my good sister, text me, said, yeah, the peckerwood. Ain't heard that one. Or the redneck. Ain't heard that one in a while either, my sister. But you see them for who and what they are, and you don't challenge them. It's a damn waste of time. Don't challenge them. It's a waste of time. What you do is you prepare yourself and each other to be independent, to be self-determining, to be liberated, to be sovereign. We have a call, 404-404. Good afternoon.
Oh, hey,
Hi, Baba.
Hey,
Queen.
How are you? It's been it's been a while, Queen. How have you been? What's been happening with you? You been doing okay?
I've been well. Looking around, keeping my eyes open, staying woke. I've been fine.
Good.
Just keeping my eyes open and staying woke.
Well, the Kwanzaa season's coming up, so I know I'll get a chance to see you. And I really appreciate some years ago when you involved me in some Kwanzaa programs that you had set up. I would really appreciate that, So.
Yeah, you feeling it too? I'm really missing Kwanzaa. It's become our national holiday for real.
Oh, yeah, especially for us conscious folks. You always celebrate and get into the Kwanzaa, because it is who we are.
It's real.
Yeah.
And right now I'm kind of feeling like it should be becoming more and more prominent and upfront and widespread because, the children and we really don't have a whole lot to celebrate in this time and in this space here in America. We really don't. So, that is one of the things that keeps us uplifted, motivated, determined, focused,
yes,
progressive, outcome, before all of those who have laid pathway in our time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we really need to and get in touch with other Kwanzaa celebrations around the nation and around the world.
Yeah. In fact, we should, come to a point to have, just like they got the BET awards,
Ooh.
We should have a national Kwanzaa celebration. Maybe one of the days of the seven where we choose to and highlight that and have a national Kwanzaa celebration, where we have entertainers. We have speakers, just something that they may be on TV for a few hours, but, it highlights what Kwanzaa is all about. It'd be great if somebody would do that, have the money, or we come together to put the money together to do that, and instead of relying on, Tyler Perry or.
Koomba creativity. Baba, you just laid it out.
Yeah, well.
That's how we do things. We just communicate, and the spirit tells us what to do, and we listen. Yeah. It ain't no reason under the sun.
Right. When Kwanzaa was first created, it was more intimate in people's homes. I celebrated it in a few people's homes that I can remember, and some nice Kwanzas and learning all about it. But then we started having community-wide Kwanzas, and some of them became huge. I remember one at a high school in Milwaukee. I mean, because we had outgrown the couple of centers that we had them at, man, we had all kinds of entertaining. We had a brother from Chicago who was a magician. We had, I don't know if you can remember, I played music the group, the sister named Shavan Duca and her husband, Kwame Cobb, and Shavan Duca out of Chicago with the Kwanzaa songs. I mean, beautiful song. And they performed at a Kwanzaa that we had been in Milwaukee. So it was just dynamic. It can be done. It's how much energy. And, because I know we appreciate the Kwanzaa that you helped set up at the shrine. Those are beautiful.
Father, it would look. I can sit home and put my feet up and drink coffee. That is for you. I can. For real. That was for, the Kwanzaa, the spirit, the unity. It was for the people.
Yes.
It was for the people.
Yeah.
It was always for the people.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, if we get together with enough groups and organizations and go to that lady, Cynthia Hughes,
Kathy Hughes. Kathy Hughes. Mm-hmm.
Or any one of them, and we can get sponsorship. We can do that. We need, not only can we.
Yeah. But see, you know how I look at
it.
We
got work to do.
We do. But see, how I look at it is, you know, I don't want it to be commercial. I don't want it to be Kwanzaa sponsored by McDonald's, sponsored by Coca-Cola, sponsored by, you know, I want it to be Kwanzaa, you know, sponsored by the people, sponsored by African groups, sponsored by African business, sponsored by us, you know. And just like I seen that Kwanzaa commercial on TV, I think it was the U.S. Postal Service or something like that. But, I mean, we live in America, okay? And that's a reality. We live in America, and America is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. But the main thing, capitalism, money. You know, like many of us say, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. So if it don't make dollars, then it don't make sense to have a Kwanzaa celebration or Kwanzaa something on TV if you're not going to get sponsorship. That's the mindset, you know. But it ain't about dollars. Because what Kwanzaa should be about is a cultural awakening. What Kwanzaa should be about is helping you understand more about who you are historically and culturally, understanding your history and so forth. That's what Kwanzaa should be about. It shouldn't be about, you know, just entertaining you and you getting some money.
Yeah. Would you say edutainment? Yeah. That's what it's about, period. That's what it's all about. That's where we stand, and that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. What the hell? What the hell happened? What the hell happened?
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
They don't know anything. Correct.
Yeah.
They don't know anything to look forward to and to be proud of. And we're going to knock on, you know, see, it's just so beautiful how when we come together, us earth people and people of the sun, I was trying to sing that. I love it. And you were singing too. I saw you. When we come together, we just create, and it's beautiful, and we make things happen. So, you know, you just spoke it. You just spoke a word that can't be forgotten. People say something to me, and that's real. Because we have enough, and we have enough money, and we have enough space, and all of that. And plus, we got to really start supporting by Black, by Africans.
Yes.
Really. Yes, we really, and this can be exposure on all sorts of fronts. So, you know, you spoke a word, Baba, you spoke a word this morning.
Well, if anything is possible, and all things are possible, then hopefully it may manifest, you know.
They do that other stuff. They do that other stuff on a regular.
Yeah.
They do all of that. Mm-hmm. And we got the space. So, hey, look, man, I don't see no. I don't. I just never have.
I know, sister. You
we got work to do.
Yeah, you are adamant.
And it's a beautiful work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, it is. It's fulfilling once you see that things come into fruition. But it is a struggle. You know, life is like not.
I will continue.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because life is not like no damn box of chocolates, okay? Life is like a roller coaster with a series of ups and downs for everybody. And for us, it is a serious ass roller coaster ride when you're dealing with these Yurugu, these Europeans, these Yurugu, they're Yurugupians. It's a serious, you know, because.
Yeah. and they need to be educated. Mm-hmm. You know, they need some enlightenment, whether they hear it or not.
Yeah,
they need to know. Maybe their children will hear it, or their children's children, or some semblance. Well, you know, we just can't stop now.
Yeah, but as far as educating Caucasians, it, to me, it's a waste of time. You know, I could give less than a rat's ass about them. You know, I know the effect that they have on us. That's the part that I am concerned with, how it affects us, what they do and what they have done, you know, prevents us from looking at each other with respect and dignity and support and help, because we've been trained to look at us with a side eye, you know, to be divisive and self-hating and loathing, you know, and so not to be supportive. So that's
oh, yeah, no, I ain't talking. Yeah, mm-hmm. But see, they always catch what we put down.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about us.
Right.
We talking about us. We really talking about us and educating and enlightening and uplifting us.
Yeah, uplifting and that's what Kwanzaa, should be about. You know, that's what Kwanzaa is about. In those 7 days, any one of the 7 days, every day if you choose, or just one of the days, but whatever the day it is, that you begin to learn more about ourselves, that you understand how important it is that we be unified. You understanding how important it is that we be a self-determining people. You understand that how important it is that we work collectively, that we work together. You understand how important it is that we spend money with each other. You understand that our purpose is to help ourselves grow, and particularly our children, our purpose. And then, of course, when you look at the history of our creativity from ancient times to this present time, nobody does it like us. We're often imitated and duplicated. And of course, we have faith, not just the Christian faith or the Muslim faith. No, faith in ourselves as a people. That's the faith that I'm talking about, that we have faith in ourselves. You know, that we rely on the spirituality of us as African people. We're a spiritual people, you know, but we've been beat down with this theology that we believe that some, you know, person is going to save us. No, we have to save ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100%. And can you imagine the little children and the big children sitting down in front of the TV, seeing all this really happen? You know, can you imagine them seeing that and knowing that it's something more than just this miseducation and misdirection, that we really do have something? We really do. Like when the Panthers stood on them state capitol steps with their shotguns, I was like, what did you do? What? For hey, it never left. See, we don't know. We have to plant the seed. We have to get prepared. We have to go to work. Was Kathy Hughes' number? Was Mr. Johnson's number? We got millionaires and billionaires.
That's right.
Oprah.
That's right.
Oprah.
Yeah.
You know
Tyler Perry, who has a studio. We could really put a beautiful thing together. You know, I know Malefi Kete Asante's son had a nice documentary, The Black Candle, you know.
Yes.
That should be played. Also, too, Mama Nabantu once just texted me there will be an Atlanta Regional Kwanzaa Association committee meeting on Monday, this Monday coming up at 6 p.m. Be on Zoom. We can identify Kwanzaa links from the metro as well as from across the country. So when it's Zoom, they'll talk about other links, about other Kwanzas that are happening. It will be on our Kwanzaa website. There'll be a Kwanzaa website created. You know, I just want it to happen. And I want it to happen. I want it to be coordinated, you know, so we can have Kwanzaa from a community standpoint. I know Atlanta's big, you know, I know that it is big. But to me, if I'm having a Kwanzaa over here, we need to maximize that attendance there. That's the one that's being promoted. Then the next day, we're having it over here, and that's the one, you know. But one can say, well, we can have Kwanzaa all over the city. Whatever the case may be, the important part of it is not just the celebration of it, but the internalization of the principles of Kwanzaa.
See, it's beautiful if we could get Malefe Maulana Karan Karanga to give us a videotape, and I'm sure he would. I don't know that he would, but that would be beautiful. And what's the sister that down here? I keep trying to get her to come out. Who wrote Urugu?
Oh, Marimba. That's a tough one. She's a friend, but it's just a tough one. Well, she's in. I don't know how long she's going to be in Ghana. She's in Ghana, so I don't know how long she's going to be there. But, you know, yeah, that's that.
Yes. We got to get her because she needs to show, because she's a part, a big part of all that we powerful. Hold up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, really she's powerful.
But there are a lot of elders and scholars.
Yeah.
I always call you a scholar.
Yeah, there's a lot of elders and scholars in our community. You know?
Yes, Brother Rudy. We have a lot of people that put in the work, Brother Rukoko.
Yeah.
They put in the work, and they deserve to shine.
And yes, they do.
And there.
Yes,
so
they
we
do.
Can do this show. So this is Monday.
Yeah.
The coordinating committee.
Monday, the coordinating committee at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Zoom. You know, but if you give me a call back, because I'm quite sure I'll get the links and for that call, because it's definitely going to be on it. And then you give me a call, so I'll give it to you, okay, so you can be on that call. Okay?
Yes.
And I'll probably, if you're listening Monday, I will have that information. So I'll announce it.
Hey, yeah. And Richard up there in Philly, give him a link too, because I know they do some things up there. I don't know how far Sister Nabantu has reached out. But,
Mama Nabantu, she's national because she's a coordinating in the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and so she has national links or national contacts, so to speak. So, yeah.
We need to identify that as well.
Yeah. Like I said, that would, to me, to have a national Kwanzaa celebration, you know. I don't know why I was tripping, Queen. You know, I don't know why I was tripping. But when Barack got in, I thought, damn, yeah, man, he might have Kwanzaa in the White House, you know. I don't know why I was tripping, you know, and thinking that Barack Obama would at least bring attention to the Kwanzaa celebration. He didn't do nothing, you know, and have some promotion of the ideas and concepts of Kwanzaa. So, but that,
wow, did you real? Wow, that was visionary.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
That was visionary.
Yeah. I try to make myself a forward-thinking person.
Yeah.
An optimistic forward-thinking person.
You can't rest now. Yeah. We have to always think ahead because, you know, that's how people plan and move ahead. Think like that.
Yeah,
we gotta keep up, catch up, and move ahead. Cause you, like you said, they always follow us. They, man, we the leaders, and we know it.
Yeah, we are.
But yeah, this we can do a national, and that's what this one should be. So that when we nationally bring attention to Kwanzaa, I don't see how the so-called, I'm gonna take that back, how the African American channels can deny it.
Well, I think the question becomes, is there a national network? Is there truly a national network that is not afraid? Because most networks, you know, they rely on money, just like, you know, my boy Carl Nelson's program, you know. Oh, my good brother, 646-646, good afternoon, Jay.
Oh, yosh, what's happening, man? Is my man Franklin Boogie Woogie Jones there?
No, he's not. But I got Sister Queen with me. She's on the line.
Okay, what happened to Franklin? Because I just tuned in.
Well, unfortunately, Brother Franklin couldn't. He's ill. So
oh,
I talked
man.
To him. Yeah, he's ill. So I'm gonna try to get him on next week. You know. So I just read some memes that he has produced. Some outstanding memes that he has produced to spur the conversation, talking about the African mind, talking about how
you were talking about organizations coming together.
Well, I was talking about, I'm talking with Queen, and we, you know, she has assisted in putting on Kwanzaa programs here in the Atlanta area, and she's gotten great. Me involved, you know, and we were just discussing possibly a national program on one of these networks, one of these streaming networks, a national Kwanzaa program, you know, that is not designed to be commercial in intent, but to be at what the Kwanzaa root is about, you know.
Yeah, Kwanzaa has absolutely changed over the years, man, from what it was to what it is now. I think now it's more commercial than anything. But, you know, once white folks get involved with it, then you know it was going to become commercial anyway. The sad thing is how much of that commercialization that we control. We, for some reason, we never control trademark and do the necessary things to dictate the terms of the exploitation. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you're going to be exploited, but I think at some point in time, we have to realize that we have to control those terms. It's like a person owning their trademark and their copyrights.
Right.
That keeps a certain degree of bastardization of your product.
Exactly. And it keeps it authentic.
Seems like that's what's happening at this time, in a sense, to Kwanzaa, if it's not being produced by Queen that's on, or others like yourself, things of that nature. So, I mean, yeah, man. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't been to a Kwanzaa program in a little while. But I remember back in the 80s and the 90s. Oh man, they were incredible, man. I mean,
no doubt.
And it wasn't like these that are produced today. It was just totally different. I remember, you know, the brother Karenga would come in New York every Kwanzaa season, and he would do a lecture, man, and they would be packed.
Yeah.
And I think he still comes to New York and does a lecture during the Kwanzaa season. But back then it was packed. You know, everybody was in their African garb. You know, it was just a totally different vibe than the last one that I had went to, man. The last one I went to, I just said, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do this because it takes away from the culture in a way. But yeah, man, I mean, that's beautiful. Do a lot of people participate in Kwanzaa in Atlanta?
Yeah. You know, with the sizable number of us that are here, I would say no, you know, realistically, because I've been to a number of different Kwanzaa presentations at the Shrine and other places around the city, you know. I've always been involved in the one we have at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, you know, and you might be able to get 50, 75 people to jam pack in there.
We used to get hundreds.
Hundreds,
man.
Of course.
Yeah, hundreds,
that's my point.
Man.
It's just the same. It's the same as the.
It was like.
It's the same as the as hold on. It's the same as the Shrine, you know. In the Shrine, you know, they wouldn't do Kwanzaa. And they initially did Kwanzaa every day from you know, Umoja all the way into, you know, Imani. And some of the days to be more packed than others, depending upon what was going to be presented, you know. So the Kwanzaa Association Committee meeting is the 6th. And it's a Zoom meeting. And so I'm looking forward to. Oh, here's all the Zoom information. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah,
man.
See, well, it's right. In
listen,
fact,
I,
it's
I hope
here even in
I
your time
that,
here in your city, well, yeah, in New York.
Okay,
it's linked up. You know.
Yeah, well, I really hope that people come out and participate, man. But you know, One of the things that we as a people suffer from at this time, for what reason, I don't know why it should be much better, is our lack of culture, man. We just have, as a collective, as a people, have just moved away from so many of our cultural traditions.
Well, see,
I just don't know why, man.
Well, listen, and that's why Kwanzaa is important, because Kwanzaa is not a religious celebration. It is not a commercial celebration. Kwanzaa is a cultural celebration. That's the bottom line thing to Kwanzaa.
Yeah, but the issue is really this, OC. A lot of people don't even know what Kwanzaa is, in a sense, culturally. They just know of it as they've turned it into some sort of, in a way, holiday, but they don't understand the cultural ramifications of what Karenga was trying to do and put together with Kwanzaa. And that's just like culture, period, in regards to all of the structures within the African community. I mean, we just it's like, you know, people talk about you need to teach civics, right? Well, what we need to do is teach culture. If we were able to teach our people the different aspects of culture and get them to understand it from a collective African perspective, we would be in a whole different position, because unfortunately, other ethnic groups practice their culture. We're the only ones who's really not practicing and, our culture
well,
on
that,
the level and, that
and,
we
and,
do.
And that's why the other groups that come here do so much better. Because they still have a cultural link, and they still have a cultural understanding, and they know who they are, and they support one another. That's why they do some. I mean, nobody, the Arabs didn't come here asking about voting or accessing that system. They didn't come in. They didn't give a damn about that. Their whole thing was, how can I, you know, access the monetary system that you have here so I can benefit myself and my people. The same thing with Koreans, the same thing with the Hmong, the same thing with all the other groups. But because we came out of an enslavement piece that alienated from our culture, made us to be ashamed of who we are and who we are culturally. So, you know, we didn't connect. We didn't support. And then even when we did and showed that we could come together and do some things for ourselves, the cracker vamped on us and destroyed it. And destroyed it. You know?
Well, that's his job, if the truth be told.
His job
is to do that. I mean, you know, I don't know if you saw this clip that this guy from the Young Turks put out there about savages. I think his name is
Yank. I played it. Yeah, Yank.
Okay. Yeah.
Yank. I played it the other day.
I mean, that was
I can play
right
it again.
There.
I'll play it again. Yeah. Hey, Queen,
I mean,
you had
right there,
hold on, Jay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I'll play it again, Jay. Queen, you had something to say?
No, I'm just letting y'all have it for the moment, but all of that is relative and true, but we cannot, see, the spirit of the ancestors keep me going. We cannot let anything or anyone or any ideology or any mindset or any thought pattern stand in our way, because those 500 years that they stole from us, it keeps running in my veins. I don't know about nobody else, but I can't stop them. Because I think of their sacrifice and their lives and what they gave all the way back from the first one that was pushed off that boat in Virginia or North Carolina, wherever. I I can't let that go in vain. And I don't really give a hoot about none of that they be talking about. Because the spirit, I don't care about none of that. I really above all of that. But the spirit of ancestors lives in me.
I say.
Out here, don't nobody else do nothing. I don't care.
Okay.
I know what's laid on Queen. And that's why I chose Queen. Because we got work to do. And anybody that want to join in, you're more than welcome. But we ain't having no chaos. We having some love and some unity. And we got work, a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, for me, that's all I see is work to do.
Yeah, I hear
work
you.
To do.
All right. All right, Queen, hold on. And Brother Jay, hold on. Here we go.
Asking us to talk about history, the history of the South. This is in Georgia. What happened in Georgia? There were savages in Georgia. It was the ancestors of the white right-wingers. They were absolute savages. They murdered people. They lynched people. They raped people.
What happened
during these lynches?
They enslaved
people. They took babies from their mothers and sold them as property. You want to talk about savages? Your ancestors were the biggest savages the world has ever seen.
And
so don't you dare call a black man a savage after you murdered him. Don't you dare do that. I'm so sick of African Americans being called violent when the world's worst violence was done to them, not by them, to them, not by them. For God's sake, you want to do racist stereotypes? If it fit anyway, and it doesn't, but if it fit anywhere, it would certainly fit white right-wingers in the South, who has hundreds of years of history of being savages. Savages! They snatched babies, and they sold them as property, and they raped their mothers. Savages! That's what they were. You want to talk about stereotypes? Screw all of you who still defend that Confederacy. That monstrosity. Anyone who defends that is a barbaric savage.
That's why they don't want to teach American history in public schools. That's why there's been a strong orchestrated effort to prevent the teaching of anything that you just mentioned right now. Because, hey, God forbid that, you know, children learn about the real savages in this country's history, right? Let's go ahead and dehumanize people over their toenails, but let's also erase the part of our history that, yes, is dark, that's awful, but is the truth.
You know what white right-wingers did in the South? And they did this for hundreds of years. In a lynching, they not only hung the person, they burned the person, and then they cut off their genitalia. And in the midst of doing all this, I swear to God, you could look it up in the history books, they had a picnic around the body. And then they would take home pieces of the charred body for memorabilia. They would have the kids, their kids, go pick pieces of the body off. And then after they did all of that, they had the temerity to call black people violent. No, no more. No more. You don't ever get to call a black person violent. You don't ever get to do that. So if you're a white right-winger in the South, don't cry about, oh no, my beloved ancestors. Your ancestors were not beloved. They weren't. They were monsters. So I said it because it's true. How you react to that is up to you. You can say, hey, that was terrible. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and you're right. They shouldn't have done that. But it's who they are. But it just wasn't the South.
And try to justify that every chance that they get.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, let me just say this, and I know you say it, Jay, all the time. That's what they do, you know. But I think the hypocrisy of who they are when they talk about freedom, they talk about independence, they talk about all these things, but yet they deny to all other humans. You know, they talk about the humanity of man. Their theology talks about that. Their government talks about that. They have all kinds of nice flowery ass words, which to me is not worth the paper it's printed on or wrote on, but they do. And yet, it's a contradiction. It's a lie. It's a fallacy. You know?
It's an illusion. They're selling us dreams. Well, who is that? Because who is that speaking, and who was he speaking to?
That's the Young Turks. If you can go online to get the Young Turks, Yank, him, and okay. There's a number of other people, the Young Turks. And they are, I don't know what term you want to use, left-wing liberal or just a liberal think tank, and they present this information consistently. They challenge the right wing. They've challenged when Trump was in office, you know.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So they're the young Panthers. They yeah. remind me of the young, you know, the Panthers.
Right. So the Young Turks.
No.
The
no,
Young
no,
Turks.
No, they ain't that type of radical white folks. No. Don't even equate.
No, they're not.
Are they white?
Yeah.
Are they Caucasian?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He's not white. He's
he's Turk. I don't know if he's Turkish.
He's Turkish or Albanian.
Yeah, something like that. But he's Caucasian. He's white. He's Caucasian. He's European.
Yeah, but
you know, and then so is most of the other people who report on the Young Turk. There are some of us.
who are on the Young Turks too.
Yeah, look them up. The Young Turks. There are some of us who
yeah,
are on
I'll
there too.
Because they doing that stuff today, right to the day. They still doing that.
Yeah.
Stuff. They ain't stopped. They drop bombs all over the place. They savages. Elijah Muhammad told us that. They're savages.
Mm-hmm.
They're damn devils, and they ain't stopping. They ain't going to stop.
There is no amount of marching, praying, sitting in, demonstrating, pleading, begging, praying, all of that, that will make these folks stop doing what they do. There is none.
Yeah.
There's no legislation.
So do they have an incentive to? Do you think?
No.
So that says it all, right?
Yeah. Because their thing is the world is theirs. And they want to eliminate the people on the planet. There is definitely a plan to eliminate the people on this planet. And particularly, as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, they have a fear of genetic annihilation, a fear of being eliminated on the planet. And who's the person, who's the group that most direct that could eliminate their ass? Who is it? Those who are most melanated, those who are us, exactly.
Us, you know that, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they is who they is, and we got to take up the mantle, go back to work, whatever way you fit in, cause you know they're being really exposed. They are being exposed. But we gotta go to work. That's all I can see is that word. Mm-hmm. We got work to do, Bob.
Yeah, we do.
In whatever way we fit in.
Yeah, we do. We do. For we have real. A lot of work to do.
And it's a Pan-African movement. It's not just here because they're enslaving people over there.
Yeah.
As we speak. They smiling in their face and just taking all of the.
Well, you know, I would love to see more of things of taking control of who we are and our possessions and our land and our. I know just a few days ago, the island nation of Barbados. You know. And I know they've been involved in breaking away from the British for a long time. And finally, it happened. It happened. So no longer do they have the Elizabeth, the so-called the queen on. In fact, I consider your ass more of a queen. Queen Ali than that heifer.
I never understood why they named the cracker a queen anyway.
That's tough.
They even into, you know, you go from African queen to a European.
Well, the European monarch, the European monarch being established, and once again, it's just as I mentioned early in the program, which of course you weren't listening, Jay, but it's all right. But I was mentioning about power. I mentioned about power, the ability to define reality. The British and the Europeans, all those kinds of, they defined a reality. And then they made others accept their reality as if it's their own. Yep. So they define the monarchy. They said, this is the queen, the king, and all the dukes and the lords and all that
ruling
kind of stuff.
Class.
Right. They define that.
The rulers.
They define that.
Not us.
And then.
Well, that's what they do, if the truth be told, basically, with everything is put forward the narrative. I mean, when you put forward the narrative of anything, you control the argument. I mean, that's something that we haven't really figured out. I mean, there's some things that the Yorugu uses that we should take and expound upon and improve and, you know, in order to get ourselves out of this madness. It's like, you know, with this whole Kwanzaa thing that y'all put together, man, you know, we got to figure out how we make, you know, in a sense, Kwanzaa more sexy for the people. Because, you know, that's what people be looking for. They looking for the sexy. They looking for the outlandish. They looking for the abnormal. I mean, for some reason, our people, they just ain't into plainness. You know, everything got to be too extreme. I mean, I know you see it in Atlanta. I mean, the way that they act and behave there.
Yeah.
I see the brother beat the sister to become the mayor. I wonder what that's going to be like. From all I've heard so far, is decent things about the guy.
Right, right. You know? And I met him at a community gathering of men. He was in attendance he's been in city government, you know. We'll see. I don't, you know, brother Jay. Go ahead.
The real deal is this: you're gonna really find out what Atlanta is about and what your so-called allies are about with this governor's race being entered now by Stacey Abrams. It's gonna tell a lot, man, because I've been listening to a lot of people talk about this Kamala Harris. I don't know what's wrong with Negroes, but ain't no way in the world the way that these white folks are behaving these last couple of months and the last couple of years, they ever gonna put her in the White House as POTUS. That's just not gonna happen. It happened, they showed you when she was running as a candidate. Unfortunately, you know, Biden picked her, and you're seeing it now where key members of her so-called cabinet are leaving. You know what I mean? And the thing is, she's just not appealing, man. To me, she's not appealing, but black folks need her.
Well,
black folks, for some reason, think that in this country, they need to be led by a black person. But if you notice, her record basically ain't for the real interests of black people. I mean, you know,
neither was Barack Obama. Neither is anybody who's in partisan politics in this country, because you got to play this game. Right. That's why I'm saying there's not going to be too much difference between any of all the mayors. The only strong mayor coming in was Maynard Jackson, who was the start of American African mayors in the city of Atlanta, was Maynard Jackson, who told them folks when they were building Hartsfield Airport that, no, my people are going to have some set-asides, some percentages, and some real jobs, not just some sweeping up the damn place, some real jobs. And here, Maynard Jackson was a strong mayor. So was Coleman Young. I lived in Detroit when Coleman Young came in. You know, he was strong.
Washington.
Yeah. Hell, yeah.
I mean, this clown here in New York.
David Dinkins.
He wasn't no.
Right. He wasn't
strong.
No strong
man.
No.
Now it's even going to be crazier is they got this new black man coming in, man.
Right.
And
he's a former police officer, right?
Interesting with him.
Is he a former?
Well, he's a former police officer.
Yeah.
It goes back to the power can see nothing without a man.
Yeah.
Never has and enough. And the power lies within the people. So we got to, this is a grassroots movement, and it's a national movement, because whatever is taking place here is all over from, you know, Washington,
well, let me just
to Florida, to Virginia, to Cali. It's all over. We are in the same condition as Malcolm said. So, you well, know, this Kwanzaa thing can really bring us together. Matter of fact, that's the only thing that I, not the only thing, I'm not going to eliminate what we do.
Well, I'll be talking about it on Monday. I will give the information. In fact, before we even go off in a minute, because we're about to go off the air right now, about that.
But, I saw the link. I think you sent it to me.
Sure, but the bottom line is that I don't think anything will change fundamentally for us, whether this Brother Juan here in Atlanta or in Chicago, anywhere else, you know, because this is theirs, not ours, you know.
I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about us.
I'm talking about where we are, sister. I'm talking about where we are, queen.
I got you.
You know,
I'm
talking about where we are.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
We are so disenfranchised and marginalized.
Right.
But we got
that's
to
the reality.
See a different... Yeah, reality. We got to come up out of this.
Yeah.
We got no choice.
And see,
we got
so I'm saying is if we're truly talking about power, and once again, power is not politics, it's not voting, it's not money. Power is the ability to define reality, and we need to define reality and shape it and fashion it in our image and interest, not to impose it on anybody. But I got to go. Jay, have a good weekend. Queen, love you.
Too, you. Oh,
have
queen,
a good weekend.
Have a good weekend and
okay.
Take care of yourself.
All
Hotel.
Right.
Thank
Hotel.
You, thank you, brother. I sure enough will. I plan to be back on Monday. That's
all right.
The plan.
Please do.
All right.
And,
Hotel.
Yeah. And then Wednesday, maybe you can tell us if I don't hook up with the Nubuntu.
Okay.
Anything that has come out of that. Okay?
I sure will,
thank
Queen.
Thank you, brother. Peace
Thank
to
you.
Everyone.
Peace. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. That's right. Peace, family. All right. Thanks.
Peace, love. Peace, Jay. Peace, everyone.
Peace.